Welcome back to Sports Day with Ben Hook and KG Cunningham. We're doing it thanks to Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. Think safety this January. Get the 5-minute tyre safety check at your local Tyre Power. Well, KG, I didn't join you on air last night because I was at Adelaide Oval and I saw an outstanding performance, not just from the Australian cricket team in the opening game of the Commonwealth Bank Women's Ashes Series, the T20 game. They were outstanding, all of them, but in particular, our girl Talia McGrath. She was on our show on Wednesday night, and she is now an official member of the Sports SA family.
What did I say to you about her batting? Her technique is the best technique I've seen from a young female cricketer in a long, long time, Benny.
Her coach is Matthew Mott, and he has been good enough to join us now. Motty, welcome to Sports Day.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, guys.
What an outstanding performance, mate. Firstly from the team, but also Talia McGrath. Mate, there's five statues at Adelaide Oval, all of them men. Is it time to build a statue of a woman? And that should be T. McGrath.
Yeah, look, mate, I think she had a great night out last night, didn't she? I know Megan Schutz is a bit of a hometown favourite as well, but I think people forget because of that knock. But the wicket she got at the back end of the innings there when England were all over us turned the momentum of the game and kept them to 170. Great performance, bat and ball. She's a great young person. She's really emerged as a leader in the last year and a half as well. So, very blessed to have her.
Matthew, the thing that's impressed me, but I first saw her earlier this year, I saw her a couple of times, she plays so straight. Her technique is absolutely so sound.
It is, and I think, she's been around for a while. People forget that she's played 10 years at WNTL and, grafted away for a long time, but where I think exactly what you said there, where she's really made the big leap in the last year is she's just backing her presence and power down the ground. And I think there was a while there where, in WNTL we watched her for a while and she'd have the team, right on the edge and then play a shot that wasn't on. And now every time she was under pressure last night, hit a boundary, she took a really good option and took a lot of pressure off the captain. And it was an innings to remember.
Motty, you make a really good point about taking the pressure off the captain, but I'd also say there's a bit of flip side there as well. Talia had the confidence to play her strokes, knowing that she had someone so reliable at the other end, and that's really important, the captain like Meg Lanning, just batting through the innings like she did.
Yeah, Meg's one of the great readers of the game, and I think she realised that Talia was on fire last night and was happy to play second fiddle, and that's the sign of her greatness, I guess, that she knew a young player was on and taking them apart. So she just sort of worked it nicely. And you always know if Meg Lanning's there at the end of the game, you're a big chance of winning the game. So that was what I really liked last night. We discussed that certainly in the post-match about Talia's awareness. To even though she was going well, she stepped it up another gear again just at the right time to really kill the chase.
You said that you had a chat in the post-match, and I'm sure that was, you got a lot out of that. But you could have maybe just said to Meg, you know what, just block out a few dot balls and let Talia get 100 for the fans, for the South Aussies at home.
We were just talking about that before here. We're down at Karen Rolton Oval watching the A-team play, and we're saying that, and it's just not in Meg's makeup. She wouldn't have expected it. If she was on the reverse, she would have said, nah, get the runs and just get this done, let's get off. I don't think it even entered mind. And probably an example of that was, I think the crowd were clapping for about 5 minutes before she acknowledged her own 50 last night. So she's certainly not about milestones. She's more about winning games of cricket, and I think that was pretty evident last night.
Gee, Matthew's going to take a big performance by England now to come back from that. That was a huge loss last night. So you're on the front foot. So England now have a bit of work to do.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it wasn't horrible for them either. I think their batting innings was very good. I think, as we said, I think Talia's over at the back end there. Two key wickets, set players, made a big difference. They could have put out a score of 190 if that hadn't happened. And that's a different chase, I think. 170, we always thought if we kept our composure and played good cricket shots, we could get there. If they were reviewing, I would have thought that they'd be disappointed they didn't push it out and make it a bit more difficult for that chase. Obviously, once you get two batters set at Adelaide Oval,
beautiful.
It is a very difficult ground to defend. So, it was a good. I think it was a good toss for us to win as well. So, that could. We might be on the reverse end of that tomorrow, so we've got to be mindful of that as well.
Matt, for those of you who don't know, Matthew Mott played quite a bit of first-class cricket for Queensland and New South Wales. Is that a pitch you wouldn't mind making a comeback on?
I did look at that yesterday. I don't often get that feeling, but I was just like, oh my God, I've got to have one more crack at this. It'll be a great place to do it. They do it. I don't think there's a better cricket ground in the world at the moment. The facilities there are absolute world class. You walk in there, you feel like you're in a cricket stadium. And I was there at the academy years ago, and I was one who didn't want that stand to go down. And you look at it now, and
yep.
I just think it's remarkable how that place is now. The facilities, the way you get looked after, it's just a pleasure to be there.
Yeah, Tammy Beaumont in the opposition, she said it's the best place in the world to play cricket, even better than Lords. That's not bad from an Englishman.
It's the best ground in the world. I've been telling you this for all these years, Benny. Hey, Matty, can I be a little bit controversial here? The non-selection of Elise Perry caused a bit of a ripple. Can I ask you the reasons that occurred?
Yeah, look, I think it's been a thing that we've looked at for a while,
yep.
is our structure of our T20 batting. And you know, Elise probably hasn't played a pivotal role in our T20 batting for a while. And look, what we were really keen on, all our numbers suggest that, you know, from five onwards, you don't face a lot of balls. So we need players that, you know, and that's the selection of someone like Grace Harris, who can go out and get 15 or 20 off 10 balls. So it's not that she's not in the top six batters, and certainly in one-day cricket, she's a lock in at four for us. But we've now got this depth in our squad. We've got some players that have been brought up on T20 cricket, and they've come in and they're making a difference. So, look, she's still in the mix. She's out. We just watched her out here today. She'll be in that. We've got a massive 3 months of cricket ahead of us. So these are only three T20 games, and the rest is ODIs and test match cricket. So she's going to play a huge role in that.
No, good answer.
We're talking to Matthew Mott, the coach of the Australian women's cricket team. I thought last night, Motty, you really went heavy on the pace attack. I wonder if, in particular, as the wicket that you're using at Adelaide Oval is probably going to get older and a little bit slower, that you'll maybe introduce more spin into the game. Jess Johnson only bowled a couple of overs, didn't use Ash Gardner at all. Do you think that that's something that may evolve over the next two games?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It was something we definitely discussed last night. I think that was the best the wicket's going to be. It was prepared perfectly for last night. I'd imagine, especially with a bit of the heat around at the moment and even that drying wind, I think it will tend to dry out. So definitely see spin has been a big part of our attack for the last few years. Grace Harris didn't bowl last night either. So,
yes.
Yeah, certainly talking to Meg, I think our biggest issue and where we were probably a bit vulnerable last night with the power play. We want to tidy that up a little bit. The back end of that was not our best stuff. So you might see spin play a bit more of a role there as that goes on. But definitely through the middle, I thought our quicks did really well to pull it back, shoot a bowl well. But yeah, I definitely see spin playing more of a role in games two and three.
Matty, we're impressed with young Alana King's debut.
Yeah, I was. I was saying before, if you're going to debut, leg spin's got to be the hardest art.
Correct.
Especially T20. She's got a lot of nerve. You know, she got that first wicket. I thought she bowled well. Danny White got her in one over, but I don't think it was anything that bad about the bowling. So she dissected the game pretty well last night. She's already taken a few things out of it. She fitted in well. She looked like she'd been there for a while.
Matty, I want to ask you about what happened in the last over of the bowling innings. It's a first, as far as I can recall, in Australian cricket, where you were deemed to have been slow in your over rate, and I reckon there's some mitigating factors with that we could potentially talk about, but it meant that Megan Shute, who bowled the last over, was only allowed three fielders outside the circle instead of four. A pretty brutal rule, really. What do you make of the rule in general? And do you feel like you're a bit hard done by last night? I think there was a couple of DRS challenges. I reckon we started the game 2 minutes late, so nothing went right from that perspective, I didn't think.
Yeah, look, we were well aware of the rule, so we can't plead ignorance there. But I spoke to Sonny Kelliar, who's our analyst, and you know, we knew the rule was there, and I said, can you be really mindful of every time and make sure, you know, keep the umpires in check? Because it's a huge rule, and I think overrates have been a big discussion in world cricket for the last few years, and the other measures haven't worked. So, look, I think the ICC are definitely keen to clamp down, and it's going to be a game changer because, you know, there's going to be a game where that really hurts you. And, it's a good example for us last night. We're normally pretty good. I think you just mentioned there we didn't bowl a lot of spin last night, so that could be a factor as well. We're used to Jess Johnson, getting Jess Johnson and Sophie Molyneux getting through their eight overs in about 15 minutes. So, that hurt us last night and something we've got to be better at. You know, definitely not the umpire's fault. We were well aware of the rule.
Motti, one other interesting rule that is particular to women's T20 cricket is that you're only allowed four fielders outside the circle after the power play. And in men's cricket, most people would be aware that it's five. Gee, that puts a little bit of pressure on spinners, in particular against a team like England, who are very adept at playing those lap shots over their shoulders and sort of opening up all 360 degrees of the ground.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's a real point of difference in the women's game. And initially it was there to try and lift scoring rates. But I think it's going to come a time where we'll have to review it because, the power that's in the women's game at the moment has gone up, tenfold in the last couple of years. I'm just watching this game here, Elise Filani whacking it round. And they're hitting the pickets hard here at Karen Rolton Oval. So it's good at the moment. I think it always leaves the bowling side vulnerable because you can't just close off one side of the field. And then it puts extra pressure on your execution. But as I said, it's a bit of a point of difference. It's so funny when you go back to men's cricket, it looks like a completely different game with that extra fielder. I know it's only one fielder, but it's certainly a real security blanket if we were able to have that one extra fielder.
Matty, Darcy Brown, still well and truly in the mix. She's been very impressive in her work.
Yeah, she has. We're going to manage her well.
Yep.
We've got big hopes for Dar. She's a world beater, I think, in the making. You just got to be careful with her.
I love watching her bowl.
Yeah, she's a superstar. And, her and Taylor Vlaminck, I think, will just change the face of, women's cricket in Australia. They rip in and they bowl fast and swing it. So those two will probably dovetail for a little while. We're very keen to play them in the test match. So, with the congested schedule, it's pretty hard to play them in every game. So, Darcy's definitely ready to go, and she'll play a big part in the back end of the series.
Just to wrap things up, Motti, what sort of a coach are you like? Are you an aggressive coach or are you a passive coach? I'm interested in that because I remember in your younger playing days, and you're a very aggressive young man as a batter. I remember a poor, unsuspecting young left-arm medium pacer who was copping a gobful from you as you were whacking him to wall parts. What are you like as a coach? A bit more relaxed?
I think I'm pretty relaxed, mate. I was quite a young coach when I got in there. I was only 31, and I reckon I made a few mistakes early, trying to be a little bit too passionate. And so over time, you realise, you're the barometer for the room. So if you're up and down and a little bit emotional, then you're not doing the best by the group. So I'm pretty relaxed by nature, and I think it works for me. One of the big things about coaches is you just got to be yourself. To be honest, I think. You can try and be something you're not, and players and other staff will quickly pick up on that. So, we are a pretty relaxed character. I like my golf and my days off as well. So, I think that's part of how we roll within this team.
Exactly.
Motti, congratulations on the opening win. I know it's one of seven games that you've got in this Commonwealth Bank Women's Ashes series. Great start. Good luck for the rest of the series, and thank you for joining us on Sports Day.
Thanks, Matty.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support. Take care.
Hopefully we'll get that game of golf in too. COVID will get behind us and we can take some money out of your pocket, mate.
You do a bit of work for a change. Hooky gone. Always playing bloody golf. Thanks, Matty.
Okay, thanks, guys. See you later.
Matthew Mott, our guest, the coach of the Australian cricket team. The super fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au.
Is this going to be a one-sided affair like the men's or not?
No. I thought England weren't too bad last night, and I reckon they gave Australia a few concerns with what they did, in particular at the top of the order. Danny White, a very good player. Yep. And if Tammy Beaumont gets away, Heather Knight, another very, very good player at the top.
Beautiful.
I am worried about their bowling, though, because they look like they didn't have an answer to the way Lanning and McGrath went about it. So
exactly.
That's going to be the concern. How do they get Australian wickets? They've only got one in 20 overs or 17 overs so far. That will be the big concern for them.
Beautifully said, Benny. Beautifully said.
But there's plenty of cricket left to play, as they say, KG. KG, we are off to a break. On the other side, we're going to be catching up with young, up-and-coming South Australian golfer Crystal Blum. Looking forward to chatting to her. Don't go away. You're talking. You're listening to Sports Day.